two features of the ongoing COVID pandemic, a lot of people with a lot of time on their hands, and a lot of people who have become proficient using the video conference service Zoom. One film lover has harnessed his newfound skills with Zoom to create a unique online theater group that reads favorite film scripts. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Former El Pasoan Jack Fields found a way to connect with friends and explore some favorite movie and TV scripts by organizing a group that became known as the Quarantine Theater Company. For months now, Fields has been organizing live readings and archiving the performances on the group's YouTube channel. And I'm happy to have Jack Fields on the program today. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Trev.
All the way from California.
Yes.
Using Zoom, of course, which is your newfound tool. Who'd have thought that we would all be using Zoom so much? But I think this is one of the more clever uses I've seen of Zoom. So how did this whole ball get rolling? This was your brainchild, I understand?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think it was anything special. I'm still not sure I do. But basically, I just invited a few of my friends at Warner Brothers to do a reading of a favorite movie that we all liked. I picked The Goonies. I just thought it was a deviation from, you know, the Zoom happy hours and the Zoom Cards Against Humanity nights that were using up the first few weeks of quarantine. And I just thought it was something that was a little different to do on Zoom and that we could use our love of movies on.
And of course, you being in California and working at Warner Brothers at the time, were on the front wave of shutdowns and closings out there in the country. And so you were feeling that distancing, I guess, sooner than those of us in Texas. Once The Goonies went off and you had your friends come together, was there at some point during that night that you thought, you know what, we should keep doing this? Or was that ever the plan?
Immediately after. Yeah. Another person in our group, Ann Marco, she said, oh, and I want to do this reading and I want to do that reading. And from that first night, it has taken off like wildfire. And in 3 short months, I think we have over 50 readings on record on our YouTube channel and over 150 members in our Facebook group. It's just spread like crazy. It's been a real hit.
Was it always the idea to call it the Quarantine Theater Group, or as the ball got rolling and the snowball started rolling, you had to give yourselves a name?
I had a few name ideas. At one point, it was the Zoom Theater Company, was what I had going on for a little while. And then my friend Darren Barnes, film historian out here in LA, he said, call it the Quarantine Theater Company. And that had a little bit more unique and timely
Perfect.
Feel to it. So that's what our Facebook group is named and our YouTube channel is named.
With so many films now under your belt, though, I imagine that there's a loose group of people that are assisting the organizing now, or is it all you still?
Well, I created the Facebook group and the YouTube channel. And to that extent, that's how I'm involved. And I still host ones that I would like to do, but everybody is jumping in. They want to do readings of this movie and that TV show and that TV show and that play. And we're doing 2, 3, 4 a week at this point. It's a fun way to revisit favorite material.
So are you saying that someone listening to this program, for instance, right now might want to do this? They could just contact you, go ahead and organize one, and you would host it on the YouTube channel?
I'd be happy to. Or if you want to host your own. I mean, some people, you know, they don't like posting them on our YouTube channel. They want to do their own YouTube channel. That's great too. Yeah.
I've sampled some of these and I've tuned in there for a few off and on. It reminds me a bit, if you close your eyes and don't look at the mosaic of little postage stamp size images on your screen,
right,
like we're all used to on Zoom calls, it reminds me a little bit of radio plays when people just listened to descriptions of what was happening and heard the actors, the dialoguing. I call them actors. I presume in the early days, no one was a professional actor. I know everyone's trying very hard.
Right.
Kudos, by the way, to all the performers, if we want to call them that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not meant to be some formal, fully polished, well-rehearsed, fully produced production. It's just a casual revisiting of the material. And it does definitely have a radio vibe if you just listen to it. And especially when you get multiple voices and unique voices. And some people like to read every piece of stage direction and description. I prefer to kind of abridge it and let the dialogue speak for itself and let the voices speak for themselves. But it definitely gets that radio show vibe. Absolutely.
With over 50 film readings under your belt now and hosted on the YouTube channel, are there some that really pop out to you as performances, if we want to call them that?
Well, the ones that were the most fun, at least for me, We did an all-male script reading of The Women, which was a lot of fun.
I remember
that. Yes, that was very fun. Anti-Mame was a blast, and we had some great actors involved with that. That's one that is very ensemble-based and very dialogue-based, so it really suits itself well to this format.
The films that you particularly involve yourself with, I noticed, tend to be the classics, tend to be films with great scripts, with ensembles, with a lot of dialogue.
The old movie snob. I can't stop it. I'm sorry.
But you also have people organizing. I see some Harry Potter. I see some films like the Star Wars films, Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. One of the latest you've just posted is Armageddon. I wasn't even sure that film had a script. But is it just sound effects?
We did Twister, and we made like blowing sounds with a blow dryer, and it's really fun what you can do with it.
I wanted to ask you that, because when I sample from the beginning to now, how do I say this politely, the level of production has gone up, the level of commitment of the mostly non-actors. People are really getting into this by the second month of these productions. I see people just giving it their all, and it's really much more fun to watch than I thought it would be, frankly.
It's very entertaining, especially when you're involved. And the ones that were the most surprisingly entertaining for me were the really bad ones. We did a reading of The Room, that horrible movie from, I think it's 98, and we laughed and laughed at just the bad dialogue and just the bad screenplay, and we made a joke out of it. So I think there's definitely a camp element there. I'm looking for more kind of camp, bad movies we love type things. I think that makes for a very fun evening. And alcohol involved doesn't hurt either.
Right. Safely imbibed in your own home, right? Nobody has to drive home. I wanted to ask, though, as even on the bad movies, it still involves everyone reading the script, being prepared, going through the script. And that's not something that most of us do very often, is go to a script of a favorite film. And I'm wondering, just that process of preparing and even hearing all of your friends gather to read a script, are there things that come out of that experience that make you appreciate the film, your favorite film, even more?
Absolutely. Some of them, the screenplays that we find are so different from the final film that usually, in my opinion, it usually turns out, gosh, the final product was so much better than it was when it was on the page, or this draft of the script ended up being so different. And the movie ended up being so much better. And also, there's kind of alternate things that you can find in old drafts of screenplays. For example, when we did Sunset Boulevard, we read the original opening with Joe in the morgue. Mm. And I had never heard that read before. I had read it, but I had never heard it read. And it made for an interesting beginning to that iconic movie.
Fascinating. So it's also educational for you, and it's deepening your enjoyment of these films. I am wondering, though, that as you organize more and more of these, are you taking in newcomers? Are these still mostly the theater company, still mostly people you know directly?
No, the more the merrier. People have brought in their friends that I've never met, and they want to get involved, the friends being their friends. As far as I'm concerned, the more the merrier.
That really is a cool aspect of this that I was hoping that was what was happening, because I was thinking that for the last 6 months, really, all of us film lovers have not had the community of going to a theater and watching movies with friends, with audiences, and that in a way, you're building a community around film still, and the communal enjoyment of a film, just in a very different formula. Do you think this is something that might continue after, hopefully, we get out of this health crisis?
I'd be happy to. I mean, I definitely am ready to get back to going to movies and going to theater in person, but I would love to make this a regular thing or an occasional thing. I mean, we're doing 2, 3, 4 a week now, but maybe one a month when all the theaters come back would be a fun way.
What do you have lined up? You have some special projects that you've just been dying to get your friends to read.
Well, one that I'm very excited about is this coming Sunday. We're doing The Little Foxes, Lillian Hellman's classic play, The Little Foxes. And one of the people involved is Austin Pendleton, the New York actor and screenwriter. He acted in the Broadway revival of The Little Foxes in 1967 and then directed the 1980 Broadway production of The Little Foxes starring Elizabeth Taylor. And now he's revisiting again on my little YouTube channel. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. How did that come about?
Well, you know, you reach out to people and they know actors and the actors know actors, you know, and not a lot of actors are working right now. So they'll do anything to read a script or exercise their acting muscles. So fortunately, one of my contacts knew somebody who knew Austin Pendleton, the New York actor, and he's going to be doing that for us on Sunday. So it's very exciting. One of the biggest and most pleasant surprises for me with this is the professional actors that we have been starting to get involved with these. Very exciting.
That is so cool. And maybe you're onto something. Maybe you were a pioneer in this. I just saw recently, you know, all over social media, everybody was talking about the version of The Princess Bride that a star-studded cast of movie actors did recently. And that was one of the projects you all did, I think, about 6 weeks ago or so.
So
you were ahead of them. You were the first. Do you see more and more that really high profile people are beginning to do similar formatted offerings as well?
Yeah, they're doing little reunion specials, like Seth Rudetsky's reunion program, where he brings in casts of TV shows or casts of shows. They don't perform the material, but they reunite and talk about memories. And so I think there's definitely a connection there.
Using new technology for old purposes.
Yes.
And great purposes.
Yes.
Before I let you go, I know you're still in Los Angeles. You worked at Warner Brothers. A lot of the folks that helped you get this kicked off were friends and colleagues at Warner Brothers. What is the state of the studios right now? Is everything still just completely locked down?
Pretty much. From what I hear, pre-production is trying to do as much as they can to get things ready for when people can physically be back on the lot and physically be back on sets together. And with California, we start to open up and then we start to close up again. We start to open up and then we start to close up again. So it's been very hard. And I feel particularly bad for LA because, you know, our economy is based on entertainment. It's based on productions and audiences and events and gatherings. And it is gone.
And distribution marketing and everything that goes with that.
Yes.
All the industry that's built around making movies. Well, I know it's been a rough patch out there and has been for a lot of people, but you've used this time productively and very creatively in a very unusual way. And it's great to see this little project of yours kicking off so well.
Thank you, Chuck. We need to get you on some of them.
Okay. Well, maybe when you do The Thing from Another World.
Okay.
I'll raise my hand for that one. So thanks, Jack, for joining us and best of luck with your theater company.
Thank you, Chuck. Great to hear from you.
I've been discussing the Quarantine Theater Company's ongoing list of online film script readings with the organizer and creator of this unique endeavor, Jack Fields. You can watch a long list of performances at the Quarantine Theater Company's YouTube channel, just like it's spelled. On Film was edited by Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs is available online at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear your mask, and thank you for listening to On Film.